The epistle reading from 1 Corinthians. Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We come again this evening to remember the Last Supper Jesus shared with his disciples just before his death. And it is a sacred and special meal, and one that deserves our deepest and most solemn considerations. In the Jewish tradition of the Passover meal, the child asks a question of the adults at the table. What is the meaning of this meal? Jesus' meal with his disciples, which he shared on that last night of his life, was a part of the Jewish Passover. And its meaning is deeply connected with the Passover story. And this is why we continue all of these many years and thousands of years later, continue to read from the book of Exodus on this sacred and special night. The instructions from the book about the meaning of the meal. It is imperative that we always remember and never ever forget that Jesus was a Jew. And that the context, not only for his last meal, but indeed all of his ministry and life, was bound up with the Jewish story of Exodus and Promised Land, deliverance from a place of bondage and oppression, and the establishment of a new community of belonging and connection. In Egypt, Pharaoh did everything he could do to isolate, divide, sow dissension, destroy relations, further dehumanize, and physically and psychically destroy the community of his Hebrew slaves. The Hebrew home, therefore, became the place of resistance to social and familial dislocation, and the table, the centerpiece of communal connection. So then, inspired by the scholarship of Marcus Borg and John Dominic Cresson, who provided this evening's meditation of preparation, I want to give you four interpretations of the meaning of this meal, each of which locates it in the ongoing exodus from isolation and oppression into the promise of community and connection. The first meaning of the meal is that it was social. Jesus socialized with his people. He ate and fellowshipped and broke bread with people. Often the wrong people, right? The people from the streets. The people with afflictions. The people with diseases. The people with reputations. the drunks and the prostitutes and the tax collectors and the so-called sinners. For the early followers of Jesus, the meal was a place of radical, radical communion with Jesus and also with others. Class hierarchies were flattened. So too were gender hierarchies. In Pharaoh's Egypt, there was the pyramid with Pharaoh on top and all of the slaves on the bottom. But in Jesus' community, there was a common table, common loaf, a common cup, and a common invitation which said that anyone could come and partake in this common new community. Everybody was welcome, and every meal was an agape meal. Secondly, the meaning of the meal was community-oriented. Jesus believed in feeding people. Again and again, Jesus blessed the bread, broke it, and shared it with others, and he taught his followers to do the same. No one was to go hungry in the community Jesus was creating. No one was to have too little, and no one was to have too much. Daily bread is a gift from God, Jesus taught. And no one has the right to refuse anyone that basic, natural right to eat the manna that was sent from heaven. I think someone should tell that to our illustrious state attorney general, who just sued a Catholic organization in El Paso for crime of all crimes, providing food to vulnerable people on the border. In Jesus' community, no one went hungry, and everyone was welcome at the table. That brings me to the third point, meaning of this meal, and that it was political. The Passover meal was a political meal. That was the case in Pharaoh's Egypt, and was also the case in Pontius Pilate's province. This was why there were so many Roman soldiers there in Jerusalem for the Passover festival. Because it was a celebration of the revolt of a people living under bondage. It was a festival of liberation. And the meal was a remembrance and celebration of the occasion. We should never forget that Jesus was in Jerusalem to commemorate a festival of freedom, and that it was for the sake of freedom that he lived and he died to set his people free. The final meaning of this meal we might reflect on is to say that it was something mystical. There is mystery in the meaning of the Passover lamb slain. How did it deliver the Jews from the angel of death? It is less to be understood than it is to be believed and received, or perhaps received and believed. The same is true with the mystery of the Last Supper. Some things are simply beyond words and beyond explanation. This is my body, Jesus says. That Christ is present with us in this meal is not something that can be proven. It is an article of faith that Christ is present. Christ is broken. Christ gives himself in love. And we take and we eat. I remember what my boyhood pastor and former pastor of this church, John Claypool, used to say as to why he became later in his life an Episcopal priest. He was perhaps the very best known Baptist preacher of his era whose name was not either King or Graham. But he chose to become an Episcopal priest because he said there were some things that are beyond words. Some things that are beyond a sermon. The meaning of this meal is one of those things. The mystery of God's communion with us cannot be explained, but it is to be received, given through grace, received in faith. This is the mystery. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The meal we are about to share has many meanings. It's a family dinner. It's a cookout with friends. It's a block party for the community on the 4th of July. It's a food distribution day at the local pantry. It's a sacred and mystical meal where our spirits are nourished and our souls are fed, and we are promised that our sins are forgiven and that our deepest, deepest longings for freedom and for community are still yet to be realized in spite of all of our fears and our struggles. Christ, beloved, is present in this meal. Christ is present in this moment. And God is in solidarity with us in the breaking and the pouring and the bleeding and the being torn apart. Christ is with us. Christ is with you in the terror and in the night. And in the pleading that this cup be taken away, Christ shares the cup with us. He sups at the table of communal resistance and resilience with us. He knows what is coming. He could have run, but the Bible says he stays. And he drinks to the dregs all of the wormwood and the gall of what it means to be at one with us and to make us one with one another. This is our atonement. Our at-one-ment with God. and with one another. At the community of this table. This is what love looks like, he says. And then he tells us that we are to love one another in the very same way. The Apostle Paul said it so well so long ago. As we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. The Lord Jesus Christ is our Passover. He is our lamb. He is our lynched. He is our bruised. He is our betrayed. He is our bloodied and our broken. He is our redeemer. And he is our reconciler. And he is our at-one-ment. And his broken body is the sign of our eternal belonging to God and to one another. So let us come now then to proclaim the mystery of our faith, to partake in all of the meanings of this meal, and to break bread together with all whom it feeds. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Mother of us all, and together all of God's people say,